Welcome to the Journey Together podcast with Joshua and Anna Gresham.
We hope you guys are having a wonderful day today.
And the best day ever.
That you get lots of snacks.
Why snacks?
I feel like I just need some snacks today.
If you guys know anything about Anna, she only consumes snacks. That's it. It's constant snack day. It's the happiest part of her life are snacks.
And Josh is not a snacker. This is a part of my life that he has had to adapt to. Because while I'm making dinner, I'm eating snacks. It's like, it's my appetizer.
It is really strange. I don't really care about snacks.
I'll cut up like cheese and eat chips and salsa, and it makes me so happy.
Anyway, let's get right into the podcast this morning.
I kind of feel like this goes with what we're going to talk about.
Does it?
Yes, 100%.
Adaptation?
No. We're going to talk about marriage, of course.
Yes. Hitched and hilarious.
Because shouldn't we laugh at our inherent differences?
Yes, we should.
Accept each other. Shouldn't you accept...
I should always...
My snacking?
Yes, I do accept. Trust me, I accept it. 100% I accept it.
You seem a little perturbed about
I'm not. I was just taken off guard that we're talking about snacks.
I feel like maybe you need a snack.
Wow. Okay. Hitched and hilarious marriage advice you didn't know you needed. That's the title of today. Why? Because, well, now you... I said this morning just a second ago, we're actually filming in the morning. However, you could be listening to this at nighttime. And then this is also a spring podcast episode, and you could be listening to this come Christmas time somehow. But just know right now, this is the season of marriage where weddings just are like everywhere. You've got probably three you have to go to already. The summer's coming. The wedding season is and has arrived.
I was a June bride. I wanted to get married in June.
Yeah.
Like it was my thing.
Yeah.
And we got married in West Virginia. So I feel like June was a safe month.
Yep.
Where it wasn't going to be too cold, definitely not too hot. And I'm excited about wedding season. Being pastors, and I'm a PK, a preacher's kid, I've gone to a lot of weddings.
Yes.
Several where the brides have passed out, which is always...
A show.
I mean, horrible. It's crazy. And you're like, oh my gosh, bless her heart. And then the ones where the groom will kneel down to take communion.
Oh, geez.
And then a groomsman has written, help me, on the bottom of his shoes.
Yep.
You know those?
Oh, yeah.
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 Pretty crazy.
Seen it. I have officiated many a weddings now. Weddings are interesting. I have, in doing the weddings, I... have experienced all of the things like songs and poetry and poems and oddities that blow your mind that take place in a wedding. That
don't offend anybody.
I'm not going to say what it is.
Don't do
but it.
But
it is funny because when we got married, it was like you, which was only in 2004, but it's funny because we didn't do any extra fun things. Like, for instance, people dancing, coming down the aisle or leaving and going down funny dance or like... a weird montage of something in the middle. Listen, I have done all the montages in the middle.
All the unity things. Sand, plant a tree.
Rocks,
candle,
plant a tree.
Braid a rope.
I've done it all. Yeah, braid the rope.
We did the candle. We had candles. We had almost 700 people at our wedding. And we loved it. It was beautiful. I was a children's pastor at the time. We just invited everybody. Everyone in the world we invited.
Everyone.
What's super funny, when I look back at our wedding, it was so busy with all of those people that we didn't really get to eat very much.
No. We were so hungry.
We were starving. When we got to our hotel that night for our honeymoon, they had packed us food.
We ate. We ate so much that we were sick, and we had a hard time consummating our marriage because we were
starving.
We were so stuffed, though, at the end of it.
Wait, they packed grabbed you like a full strawberry pie.
A full strawberry pie.
And we had chicken Alfredo for our meal.
It was so gross.
You guys, it was crazy. And it makes me laugh now.
Oh, the thinking decisions. Thinking about it. When you're 25, I was 25.
Yeah, 25. You were 25. I was 22.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, anything you could just do.
My brother officiated the wedding. My dad's a pastor. Everyone's a pastor. And I wanted my dad to have that dad moment. So my brother officiated the wedding and he's ridiculous. So I knew I wouldn't cry up front with him.
Yeah. It was great.
It was great.
It was really great. But we've learned a lot. And knowing that this is that marriage season, we thought we'd do a podcast on the of like the do's and the don'ts of what you should do.
We are going to talk about the don'ts in your first year of marriage. And these are don'ts that we did that are, we can laugh about it now, but they were horrible.
They were so like regrettable, blah, blah, blah. And when we do premarital counseling, it's one of our favorite things to do with couples because there's so much to discuss and we try to help them.
And we're really honest about things.
Yeah, we're honest. And
Josh's
tell
premarital sex talk, it makes me laugh every time. I feel like I'm probably the most blunt out of the both of us. And then when we're sitting there and you get going, I'm like, wow.
Like, I don't even know what I say this way. Wow.
Because you'll talk about birth control. You'll talk about when they're going to get pregnant or when they're not, like the ovulation date. Like you go into these details that are good.
A lot of men don't know that you can only get pregnant in a short period of time.
It's true.
In a month. Most men don't know this. And then they just think women can be pregnant at any moment, which still blows my mind how that process works. I'm not going to lie. Four kids later. How did it happen? All right, anyway, so let's go. And we don't have a list per se. We didn't write it down because these are just things that we talk about all the time.
We do.
So we may forget some of the things on purpose of some mistakes that we made in the very beginning. But let's talk about a number one mistake that we made. Within the first month of marriage, we decided to go get a dog.
You know, you get married and you just think, I want to nurture something.
We should nurture each other.
You guys.
There's plenty of nurturing that's needed.
We get hate from this from all of the animal lovers in the world. And you guys unite and you want to just get really mad at what we're getting ready to say. When you get married, it is really nice to not have to get up and take someone else potty, to not have to pay money to have someone take care of that extra, you know. Listen, we love pets too, but that first year, it is major in trying to, like, you're trying to just get to know each other. You're living together with someone for the first time and like what God has put together. You really... Anything extra, we believe, is just too much.
It's, you don't need to do it. Here's why. Because it's like, let's literally put it in an example that makes sense, which is you're building a foundation. So imagine you're outside, you have bricks, it's hot outside, it's not easy, and you are laying bricks, and one by one, and you're carrying big bricks, but at the same time, you have a dog licking you, biting you, going in between your legs as you're trying to build this foundation, and it is a nuisance. And because you really should just be tending to one another and loving on one another. And any time extra that you have with an animal, that you should be giving that to your spouse. It was a killer.
We got a boxer. Okay.
Oh, and it was a needy animal.
We bought this boxer in we went to Kentucky. We were at a wedding and we found this boxer. We're staying at a hotel. This is ironic. We're staying in a hotel. I find this boxer and we have to sneak this boxer into the hotel. The boxer loses its ever loving mind
in the bathroom.
Diarrhea is all over the bathroom floor at that hotel. Do you remember this?
Oh, I remember.
And you know, we love the boxer.
And we still thought that was a good idea.
We love the boxer. That boxer ate all of my unmentionables. Do you remember that?
Yes.
All right. It was a lot. And we didn't have the money to really take care of an animal at the time.
What always blows my mind, and you know I'm not... Listen, if you're about to get married and someone said, hey, you should listen to this, I guarantee you, you've already thought or have purchased an animal. Yeah. You're thinking, like, this is awesome. We're going to nurture this animal
it's
together.
It's like your love plant.
Yes.
Get a plant.
Buy a plant.
Cats aren't as high maintenance. We understand that because they just do their own thing. But that's a whole other conversation on who you're marrying if they're okay with cats.
Time out. I saw what you just did there.
What?
You tried to justify
a pet?
Yeah.
You want it to be all pets? What about a fish?
Zero. And here's why. Because this leads up to the next thing that you need to do that we didn't do, which is go on weekend trips your first year of marriage.
All right. I agree with that. And hold on, side note, we meet with a lot of people. They're like, I already have 3 dogs.
And then they get married. We always get that.
And we go, okay, then you need to know this is what this is going to look like. Don't get any more dogs. Like we still say, just don't add to the pile. And we have a dog. We love our dog, Lucy, Snickerdoodle Gresham. She's 11 years old. She's geriatric. Bless her heart. She's asleep right now. She is asleep forever. You guys, we did not take enough time to get away that first year of marriage and just have Anna Josh time. We immediately jumped into marriage. I was in full-time ministry at the time. You were hired full-time ministry. And then on top of that, we decided to add another full-time ministry, which was Campus Flood, a college ministry at Marshall University. And it thrived. It flourished. But we were pouring in to everyone else that first year, and our weekends, every night was taken up with somebody else, essentially. Right. Not that we don't celebrate. We can't live in a land of regret. But when we look back, we go, it would have been really good if we would have taken some time for us. And there were multiple times that first year with Campus Flood, I looked at you and I was like, well, I think we're going to have to quit this thing because I never see you. You never see me. And it was hard.
It was very hard.
It was really hard.
So you compounded there. But let's go back to the weekends. No. You just went into extra stuff, okay. which is good because we piled on more things. And that wasn't necessary. I'm kind of glad we did now, obviously, because our future has been dictated by some of those decisions.
God has used it.
Correct. However, I really wish that we would have done more weekend trips where you and I would have planned some things, buy a tent, go into the woods and stay for 2 days, you know, whatever. More of those particulars. I think that would have changed a lot, and I would have loved those weekends. And it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. So that's where I'm trying to help you. Like, don't make it overcomplicated. Like, this weekend, we need to go to the beach. And it's like, unless you live close to the beach, yes. But otherwise, don't overcomplicate it.
You can get a night at a hotel somewhere. I mean, we live 45 minutes from Raleigh. Going to Raleigh and staying at a hotel for a night or driving an hour and a half to Charlotte, that's fun.
Right.
Like, you can find fun for $150 and just enjoy your time.
Right.
Or you're like, oh, that's not our budget. Then you look at your budget and you guys, there are so many creative things that you can Google nowadays and get on Pinterest to look up of having a date night at home.
Yeah.
Or going to a park, getting ice cream.
Get two of your best friends, get two other couples, and the three couples go get an Airbnb and it'll make it really cheap and go have a fun weekend. Even that itself is good.
Stop making excuses of why you can't.
Right.
Yeah.
So make the time, set apart, like go put it on your calendar, like go do those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we did not do that, I felt like I battled jealousy with your time.
Sure.
I think out of the 5 love languages, my number one is quality time. And I really like time with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel like I had it. After our honeymoon, so we went to Cancun.
Went to Cancun for our honeymoon.
When we came home, you had some Cancun sickness. Do you remember? You were like super, You were very ill.
I got something from the plane.
I don't know what it was. Yeah. And
the plane ride got me.
Our honeymoon really lasted 1 week. And then you were sick.
For like a month.
For an entire month. And then we were thrown in to, this sounds horrible, like we're saying all of this is horrible. It was challenging. We made it. You know what?
21 years.
21 years. You guys, you're going to face some challenges whenever you get married. And it is extremely helpful to have goals and a vision and a purpose for that personal time. We did not have that those first, not even just first year, those first few years, because we chose to have a baby that first year due to what I had dealt with endometriosis. And that layered, you know, we encourage you, unless medically you have to, or if you're getting married and you're like, oh, hey, we're 40 years old, we've not had a baby yet, and you need to have a baby, we get it. We encourage you to not have children your first year of marriage, first 2 years of marriage. First, listen, just enjoy each other and save your money, build your life.
Yeah, if you can wait 5 years. What I mean is, it depends upon when you got married, obviously, because if you got married in your late 20s, early 30s, or mid 30s, or 40s, then all of those are difference of opinion when it comes to when you should have children. It's a given. I am speaking to the ones I believe that you need, no matter the age, I think you need to wait at least 2 years. 2 years. Because you need to enjoy each other and that quality time with one another. Children come into the scene and it changes everything. But not only that, but all the emotions prior to it. I mean, it changes the seasons that you're in and developing that core connection with one another. And you don't want any of that to be disrupted. We had children immediately and it made things much more complicated. Not necessarily in a negative way, but it just became more complicated. So we had to work through those situations and some of that understanding of what are we doing next or how are we going to do this or what are that. Some of our dreams or thoughts were no longer, and those were going to be on the end, the tail end of children leaving. So now we're getting to do some of these things.
So it flipped for us. Our 20s, I had my fourth kid at 30. You were 33 when we had Carly. And those first 7 to 10 years were filled with laying that foundation of building our family. Yeah. God gave us a grace to do it. And you're like, oh my gosh, we got married and we just got pregnant. You know, it happens. Gosh, we have so many friends that we've met that, you know, have a surprise baby in their first year of marriage. And we celebrate it. Every baby is a blessing.
Yeah.
God knew us before we were in our mother's womb. He has such a good plan. But if you're planning for this, that means if you're not preventing to have children, you could have children.
So be prepared.
So you're prepared, and then you look at it and you start to talk about this with your wife or your husband, and you go, oh, hey, let's sit down and plan out some fun things over the next couple of years, and let's set our goals and figure this out. That is not what our picture looks like. We're doing well, but I remember those first couple years looking at you going, oh my gosh, did I make you have a baby?
No, I never felt that. And I never felt like
you
made
me. But I asked you that all the time.
You did. I don't think it's because we were just exhausted. I mean, it was tired. It was like, gosh, man, I love my children. Oh my gosh, I wouldn't trade them for the world. And I'm doing this podcast for my great, great, great grandchildren. You know, it's like all of that. So if your great, great grandfather here is so glad that I had your great-great-grandfathers.
This is getting crazy.
Grandmothers. The point of it is, all the greats, the point of it is, I'm so thankful that I had my children, and I love my children dearly. In the moments of raising them, I mean, I just looked at some photos, and you're like, oh my gosh, look how small they were. Oh my gosh. And it was like photos of them at the beach, and it was chaotic. I mean, it was like, they had dug a hole. All four of them are in the hole. All four of them are covered in sand. And I just thought I had to clean them afterwards. like that was the first thought that came through.
How are you going to get all of the sand off of four children?
Yeah, man. It's like insane to think about all of like just all the stuff. And so
children require work. and a lot of nurturing.
Yeah.
And you need to be prepared when you're going to have them. We talked about how many kids we wanted to have. We said 2 to 4. You were always leaning on the side of 4.
Yeah. Okay.
This is a conversation you're having before marriage. If you have not and you're newlyweds, then you need to really have this conversation after this podcast. And then when it came down to it, I was like, well, I would really like 3 kids. I've got an older brother. I would have loved to have had another sibling because I like siblings. And after we had our 3rd child, I kept feeling like I was missing someone. We'd be sitting on the couch and I'd be like, oh, I feel like I'm missing someone. But 3 boys was a lot. Y'all are like bear cubs. It was crazy. Financially, we really didn't have much. And
financially, we never had much.
No, we didn't. And we still chose to have these children. And I am thankful that we did, and God always provided. But when we did have Carly, we had, you know, family that were like, what are you doing? You are church planning. You already have 3 kids. You don't have much financially. Why would you have another child? There are going to be some decisions that you make in the beginning, in your early parts of your marriage, that other people may not agree with. But if you all are in agreement,
that's all that matters.
You've talked to God. That's it. They're not married to you.
No. Yeah, we couldn't allow those outside voices.
No.
So make sure you're paying attention of godly wisdom and people that you trust and they love you and they're championing you on. You can listen to them. But at the end of the day, you still have to know what the two of you have talked about and what the two of you agreed on, and that's it. That's final. So I'm encouraging you that this is what matters. This is really what the podcast is all about today, is this right here, the two of you are coming in agreement, and that you don't put any kinks in what you're doing. Like you don't put any type of weaknesses in your foundation. You are literally preparing yourself for the very best. And that way you're going to grow and you're going to be successful. So like let's talk about sex. Have all the sex you possibly can. All the time, not just your first year of marriage, love one another, engulf one another in your love and your passion towards things.
As you're building that connection and that friendship in the beginning, then it's going to build a trust for your sex life. You know, scripturally speaking, and because we follow God and we're disciples of Jesus, we want to honor the Lord and honor the word of God. And so we encourage you to not have sex until you're married, because it's a covenant between the both of you that you have under God. I'm always, this is just how the devil works. Here you are. There are people, okay, people have sex before marriage all the time. We know this. And then they get married and then they stop having sex. And we'll end up meeting with couples and I'm like, hold on, did y'all have sex before marriage? And they're like, yeah, actually we did. And then I'm like, wait, but you're not having sex while married? When God created sex for marriage, and now Satan's tried to twist it to make it seem like, oh, this isn't fun anymore. We don't want to do this. You've brought in offense, all these different things. Isn't that just how the devil works to make things so confusing and pervert what marriage should be? I feel like in the beginning of our marriage where we did have kids, y'all, I gained, what, almost 90 pounds with Cademan. And that'll take a toll on you with like how you feel about yourself. You were great at making me feel good in every size and shape that I was those first few years. Like, I'm super thankful.
I am in love with you.
I know. And I'm so thankful for it, but that was hard when it came to intimacy, because I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't look the same way that I look when we got married. And I really appreciate that you were like, baby, I love you. Like this, none of this matters to me. And I wanted to lose that baby weight and get back in my clothes and do all those things. But you were extremely supportive to where I didn't feel like it was a you issue. It was just me wanting to be healthy again, you know?
Sure. You are the most beautiful woman that I've ever laid eyes on. So, thank you. Therefore...
Do you want to make out now?
Yes. Therefore, it doesn't matter to me the sizes of seasons or whatever it is, like no matter what, you're still the most beautiful woman.
My face red?
I don't know.
My cheeks are red.
You're the most beautiful woman. So to me, I'm like, this is it. And so that's where you in your premarital moments here, or even in your newlywed moments, like this is where you have to decide when you make these vows for one another, it is forever. And therefore, you get to embrace all of the seasons. You get to experience all of these seasons. And you hear it all the time. And this is the best example I can give you. You hear this all the time with children. Like, you don't wish it away, all the small years, because before you know it, they'll be teenagers. And you're like, there's no way these kids are going to be toddlers forever. They're going to be pooping in their diapers forever. And looking back at these photos, you go, oh my gosh, they're big now.
We have four teenagers.
They don't sit on our laps anymore. They don't come tackle me. They don't want to wrestle. Well, sometimes they want to wrestle me. But
although this morning Carly did a circle of life.
Kiss.
I was kissing Josh.
And she wanted me to kiss
Carly
her on the cheek.
Carly came in. When we hug, Carly likes to come in and give us a hug in the middle of our hug.
But that's about to end.
And then I was kissing Josh on the cheek. And then Carly said, oh, I'm going to kiss Mom on the cheek. And then you kiss me on the cheek. And then we finished and she goes, it's a circle of life.
Oh my gosh.
It made me so happy. I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
But she's not. But that's the thing. It's not going to last much longer. So you need to realize this is just seasonal. These are changes. Yeah. And you have to learn to receive it, to embrace it, to adapt to it. These are things that grow you in a mature way that you're going to be successful. And you're going to look back and you go, man, I'm so glad I did that. I didn't run. I didn't bail. I didn't escape. I didn't check out. It's like, I checked in and now I am a better person because of it.
And you want to build each other up within these seasons. Okay. First year of marriage, you're learning and growing. There were many things that we aggravated each other on. So let's touch on these aggravations. And this was, I'm going to throw myself under the bus of something that I really had to work on. That's been a process with me. Having an older brother who is sarcastic and I'm sarcastic, I immediately wanted to treat Josh that way whenever we got married. And one thing that I was aggravated with you was you had no concept of time our first year of marriage, and you're a worker bee, meaning you never told me if you're going to be late.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You just rolled in late, whatever that looked like. And I would get so angry at you, and then I would yell at you. And I hated it. I hated yelling at you. I also hated that you were late, but I hated me yelling at you even more. And my parents, my pastors, they're my parents, but my mom, I called her, and I was like, all right, I'm yelling at Josh over all of these things. And she was like, you got to break this destructive cycle. It's become a pattern. She goes, I want over these next few weeks that no matter what happens, whether it's good or bad, if he's late, whatever that looks like, you make a choice to allow, ask the Holy Spirit to help you to have this operate in self-control and do not yell no matter what. And you know that was hard for me. It was definitely a work in progress. But I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit helped me to be aware of it and that I did start to work on it and have, you know, say, I want to grow in this. Was I perfect with it? No. I feel like it took years. Y'all, you're in this for the long haul, so you might as well build each other up as you're growing together and learn how to work through those challenges that
you're
going
to
face.
There's going to be a lot of challenges in the very beginning, and that's why it's important to let loose or not allow in any extra distractions, because you're going to have to learn how to get along, and that's what you're boiling down to. Some of the behaviors, the nuances of the bathroom habits. She's about to bring up one because what I just said right there, she's like,
just tell everybody what you're aggravated at me for.
Anna doesn't use the proper amount of toilet paper. She uses all the toilet paper.
I need it.
So instead of taking the roll and just taking a little bit, it's like all of it. And then I wanted to say something about it. And that didn't bode well.
You were like, baby doll, you need like two pieces of toilet paper. And I was like, all right, you've clearly never been around a woman before.
I never said two pieces of toilet paper.
I'm pretty sure you did.
I did not say two pieces of toilet paper.
Two pieces?
I don't use
toilet paper. You have lost your ever-loving mind.
I don't use two pieces of toilet paper.
He also, I did not shut the shower curtain. Some of y'all, you're mad at me now for that too. I didn't shut the shower curtain whenever we were first married. And I like light. I live in the light. Josh is like a vampire who lives in the darkness. And he was like, you leave all the lights on.
No, if I'm downstairs, I want the lights off upstairs. It's called saving the world.
But if Josh is out of town, our house is lit up. Like a beacon of light.
It's like a Christmas in July.
You know, okay, these aggravations that we're talking about are kind of stupid. But if you don't believe the best and love each other through these things, I call it the snowball effect.
Correct.
that before, you know, here are these little just, oh, little snowflakes. These are so lovely and fun, and but it's cold. And anyway, you turn it into a snowball. If you don't take care of that properly, it can be, it can turn into like an avalanche at your house, meaning you take all of these snowflakes. If you don't watch yourself, you'll take these little aggravations. You'll hit your spouse with the snowball, and then that can continue until it becomes an attack on something that can be so lovely and just a part of who you are and your growth, could really bowl you right over. And that's not the goal of marriage. I said some really mean things to you that first year of marriage when I'd be aggravated. And I remember my sister-in-law, Megan, telling me, she was like, the Lord ministered to me on my words. And she goes, he said, why would you want to say something essentially that harsh to the person you've chosen to be with for the rest of your life? And I've never forgotten that. I've never forgotten that. We're not perfect at it. I've used way more words that are aggressive or harsh than you have. Probably because I like words, maybe more.
I grew up in the woods. I can go weeks without talking.
But words really do hurt.
Sure they do. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's something in the beginning of our marriage that I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit continually helping me to grow in that.
So winding this down, if you're watching this on YouTube and you see this plant in front of us right here, we have a plant in front. And we were blessed with this plant by a very sweet couple in our church. And I got the plant and I was like, oh, this is so sweet. I love plants. My office is actually filled with plants. And so I'm like, oh, I love this plant. I'm so pumped. And then it came with a note. And then I was like, oh my gosh, it's not just a normal plant. It's a plant that cannot die. And let me tell you why. This plant has been alive for over 50 years. And they have at times taken portions of the plant from the original plant and have blessed other couples in their family with this plant. This is a very old plant. I mean, obviously, this is a new offspring of it, but it's the whole concept behind it. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to take really good care of this plant.
It's their marriage plant.
It's their marriage plant. Over 50 years. It's like the heaviness to this, like the thought of like what this plant does and mean, like it's just insane to me. But I love it so much that this is exactly what we're talking about today. What you put in the soil, how it's going to bless others, the future.
This could be our kids' marriage plant that we like clip off and give it to them when they get married.
You sure? I mean,
you guys, one of the greatest gifts that we can give our children and show the world is a Christ-centered marriage that's fully surrendered, that wants to grow. Not a perfect marriage. None of us are going to have perfect marriages.
Yeah.
But we definitely want to have marriages that want to grow and that want to bless others. When they gave us this plant, we just got it this last Sunday, and I was like, oh my gosh, that is the sweetest thing ever. And how precious. Like, I want our marriage to be precious to other people. And I want our kids to look at it and go, hey, I actually want to get married someday because mom and dad love God and they love each other.
Right.
You know?
But you have to take care of one another. You have to be gentle with one another. You need to nourish one another. And you need to make sure that whatever you're putting in the soil from the very get-go is like the good stuff, not the crazy stuff. Not like you have to be so careful that you don't ruin what you have planted.
Yeah.
And so that's where I would encourage you.
What are we putting in that soil?
Oh, I'm putting love.
Prayer. Okay. We didn't pray enough together that first, couple of years?
Yeah, we should have.
We should have prayed.
We should have had more vision moments where we sat down and talked about vision stuff, and we didn't.
Yeah.
And I wish we would have done that. I wish we would have sat down and said, hey, let's talk. What does 1 year look like? 2 years, 5 years from now? Like, what are we wanting? We did it a little bit. I mean, we did do it a little bit, but I wish we would have done more of that.
We did it for the church.
Correct. Yeah.
We didn't do it.
Not for ourselves. Not for our marriage.
Yeah.
You're right on that.
Yeah.
So that's where a lot of mistakes that we made and we need to, and we're making up for that now, big time.
Yeah.
So all of that to say.
Kind words. Gentleness. Good gravy. Gentleness. Intimacy.
Grace.
Oh, okay. I've got two scriptures to read.
Okay.
that are awesome.
We'll end on the scriptures.
While I'm getting these scriptures, tell everyone about video games. It's still a thing, right?
Oh, I usually tell the men, it's changed a lot lately, that a lot of women will play video games now too, the generations below us. But video games, consumption of video in general, even get social media for women, it is not healthy in the marriage in the first few years, because you have escaped to being in a trance with video games for young men. They're playing video games for the wee hours of the night, and then they try to come into the bedroom and make love with their wife at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, or they're no good in the morning, and that's like horrible. And then women as well, you try to escape through social media, and you're on there. I just recently learned about the Snapchat scores and what your Snapchat score is. And it was a little alarming what some people's Snapchat score is. And it's all based upon an algorithm of usage, essentially. But I think that needs to be checked. Like, you need to put all of those things away. Yeah. Because you have to nourish one another. And those things, what are you feeding from, man? It will destroy you fast.
And these reels that you watch on Instagram that joke about the wife laying there watching reels but not being intimate with their spouse, or it'll be like, oh, let me take a break from my reel and like service my husband. Then they make light of it. But you have marriages that are suffering.
It's horrible.
Because due to a lack of intimacy and connection based upon living someone else's life, or wanting to have someone else's life, or you just celebrating someone else's life over your own. It is a challenge in today's society. I mean, 100%. And I like social media as much as you do, but it's definitely something that I don't want to, I don't want it to win in our marriage.
Listen, I have a healthy balance. I have men that can play 2 hours of video games, 1 hour of video games. That's normal. I get it. I understand the escape. That's your hobby. So, I know that there's women who can say, I can put a time limit on this and I can do this, whatever that hobby is. So if that's the healthy way and you both come in agreement, do it. So it needs to be a healthy time in and a moment that you can get out, so that you're not just like wasting precious time. So I'm not trying to say you can never play video games, you can never be on social media. I don't know if that's really possible, but it's creating a balance that both of you have come to an agreement that you're happy. And you go, this is fine. I don't care if you go play video games for an hour. Be careful. I mean, you know, 2 hours max. But all day on a Saturday and you guys are missing out on time together. Blah.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Your marriage is a good work in Christ. You are a good work in Christ, and God wants to complete that work through your relationship with Christ in him. And I love the scripture because I look and go, oh, hey, I'm not done. He's not done with me yet. I'm always growing, and God, you're doing something great in me and through me. And within that, you're doing something great in our marriage.
Yeah.
God is a master restorer. He redeems. He's just so faithful. And then the other scripture is out of Philippians 1 as well. Verse 9, it says, and I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. There's a comma there and it keeps reading. I'll let you continue to read that prayer. But a prayer, that word abound is an overflow. It's an increase in overflow. That your love will abound, it will overflow and increase in such a way that you know God, you know how much he loves you, that you want to know each other, that there's a discernment on the things that God is speaking in your life towards one another from the Holy Spirit. And you guys, the Holy Spirit will show you how to nurture, how to love, how to care, so that you can have this good fruit, and so that you can prune off what needs to be pruned off and really have a healthy and long lasting marriage that that brings nourishment to others. There is an anointing on your marriage, and God wants to use you as a testimony of Jesus Christ to others, to your kids, to your family. So within that, I'm thankful that we're still growing.
Yep.
And that we have a marriage plant now to grow.
Yeah. Listen, they always say it. The famous saying is, when's there's two good days to plant an oak tree, 50 years ago and today. So that knowledge of knowing that you have today to change the future. And if you want a nice big oak tree that just is beautiful in your front yard, then do it now. Like, begin to nourish, begin to plant, begin to love on, because that matters.
Don't stop holding hands.
Always hold hands.
Don't stop kissing.
Always
make out. We just had the advice from someone who's been married for a long time. You got to kiss at least 20 seconds every day.
Yes.
It was so sweet.
It was.
Make sure that you tell each other you love each other when you go to bed.
Yeah.
And whenever you leave in the morning, you're like, oh, these are stupid. No, they're not.
No,
they're not. These are not stupid.
Nope.
These are valuable things in your marriage
that
build and just that are this good stuff.
Yeah. So stop making excuses and make it happen. You guys, thanks for listening, watching. Subscribe, like, share with somebody. Someone who's about to get married right now, hook them up. Send them a text message. Share it out. Guys, thank you for listening.
Love
Have a
y'all.
Good one.